Here he is, folks, ladies and gentlemen, the food man. Hi, Arthur.
Hello, hello. It is Hanukkah. There are Hanukkah songs abound. Have you noticed this year there's a lot of people singing about Hanukkah? I mean, there's the famous Adam Sandler song. That's mainly what we hear. Used to be only Dreidel Dreidel, which is a top, by the way. For those of you not in the know, a dreidel is a top, T-O-P, that you spin and play a game with on Hanukkah. The other thing you do on Hanukkah is eat fried food. Now, of course, American Jews, mostly from Eastern Europe and Central Europe, make potato pancakes, latkes in Yiddish.
Yeah.
But in other parts of the Jewish world, they do other things. For instance, a big thing in Israel, as well, by the way, in the south of Italy, is fried donuts, called sufganiyot in Hebrew. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it's epole in Italian. It's just fried dough. I never met a fried dough I didn't like. It's a good holiday for frying. It's all about the oil, because Hanukkah commemorates the miracle that one day of sanctified oil for the being rededicated temple. This is in Jerusalem, about 200 years before Christ. And there was a war, the Maccabees. We have a story. It's nice. And we won. You know, the history of the Jews is they tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. So let's hope the same thing holds in Australia. In any case, the oil lasted for 8 days until they could get more. The oil being olive oil, and this being the time of the year that olives are harvested for pressing into oil, it makes sense that they didn't have quite enough oil left from the previous year to put it's the lamp that's over the altar. In a Catholic church, they have the same thing. It's an eternal light that goes over the altar. It's never off. Anyway, it's never supposed to be off. Anyway, that oil that they used even then was, you know, in the oil lamp, was olive oil. And in fact, I don't know how many years ago this was, a long time ago, at least 30 years ago, a Hasidic group rented a space on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan so they could show you how olive oil was pressed. This is all apropos of Hanukkah. They would light the Hanukkah lights every night at this storefront, and they actually use olive oil to light the lamps. These days, we mainly use candles to light, and we light a candle every night for 8 nights, commemorating the 8 nights that the oil lasted. So this reminds me of my oil, because I'm using up last year's oil right now, and I haven't gotten my new oil yet. I did buy a bottle of extra virgin olive oil at Costco from Bari, where the area around Bari is a wonderful pool in Puglia, the region of Puglia. They make some of the best oil on earth. They make some of the worst oil on earth, too, but that usually goes into soap and other cleaning products. In any case, they like to say in Puglia, we make both the best and the worst. Well, this, I must say, this is a very, very good bottle of oil. I think it was only $13 or $14 a liter. But what I'm waiting for is the oil from Tuscany, which Costco usually gets, usually by the end of the year or the beginning of January. The harvest is in November, so it takes time for it to get here. But I do like that new oil because it has a very strong flavor. And as the year goes on, it fades. And after 2 years, well, I would say that I've never kept a bottle of oil for 2 years. I've only kept it for 1.5, maybe. But you literally, at the end of 2 years, you just want to fry with it. if you have any old olive oil around, this is a good time to use up some of it. I doubt that people have extra olive oil around. I know I don't. Anyway, although I did just buy, I have to say, a 3-liter can of my favorite Sicilian olive oil, because I'm not even going to say where I get it, but the store that I get it in is trying to sell off last year's, and this oil is perfect for cooking. It's not a problem at all. Actually, I would put it on a salad even. But in any case, the price on the oil was last year's price. They're not raising the price, even though the new oil is going to cost significantly more. And I have to say, I have a friend who presses her own olive oil in Tuscany. She has no oil this year because of an insect problem. But her oil is an extraordinary oil. Anyway, so back to Hanukkah. We have oil. And in Eastern Europe, they had a lot of potatoes in the, well, we're talking about medieval times, starting in the 1500s, they got potatoes. You know, potatoes are from the New World, originally from Peru. And the colors of potatoes, by the way, the colored potatoes, that's not like a newfangled thing, a trendy thing. It's actually, in Peru, they were different colors, including purple. Anyway, so they had a lot of potatoes, and the fat was not olive oil, obviously, not in Hungary and Germany and even in France. It was not olive oil. It was poultry fat, because this is also the time of the year that ducks and geese are slaughtered to be preserved for the winter, to be cooked in various ways, and then it results in a lot of fat. You know, ducks. My grandmother used to roast the duck once a year just to have the fat, and then she and my grandfather ate the duck. I never got to see the meat of the duck, only the fat. But the duck fat and the goose fat were essential to that cooking, and, of course, that was the fat you used to fry your potato pancakes, which is what evolved for Hanukkah. One of my jobs, I have to say, maybe the one that I liked the most, in fact, because it had immediate gratification, was my job was to grate the potatoes for my grandmother's big Hanukkah party every year. That was her big entertaining thing. You know, it was like an open house from like midday into the early evening. And all day long, my grandmother, along with my mother and an aunt or two, and Arthur, would be frying pancakes, so that you always had a pancake right out of the pan if you came to my grandmother's party. And my job was to grate them on a box grater. Well, you know, fast forward to my teenage years, my grandmother acquired a food processor and taught herself how to do the potatoes in the food processor. I have to say, prior to the food processor, she tried doing that with a blender. Not good. For some reason, well, I don't want to go into the reasons, I know them, but a blender is not as good as a food processor for this job. No. You were going to say something?
I was just laughing and thinking about knuckles with the box graters.
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to say that the blood from your knuckles grating these potatoes was an essential flavoring for the potato pancakes. But that was just a story, of course. I have to say, my grandmother, I still have taste memories of my grandmother's pancakes, and I have never, ever been able to really reproduce it, because the fat that she cooked in was a product called Naya fat. It was really disgusting. It was chicken fat flavored hydrogenated shortening, basically Crisco with artificial flavoring, and that made it taste something like chicken fat. So that was the fat that we used for frying all these pancakes. I remember these enormous jars of Naya fat that we would go through, because you had to keep replenishing the fat if you were cooking pancakes all day, which we were. And I remember when I was really young and didn't know better, I would be finishing my job, and then there would be no pancakes left. I get very unhappy that nobody saved me any pancakes. Well, after a while, they started saving me pancakes. But yeah, that was my grandmother's pancakes. They were made on the medium fine side of the box grater, not shredded. A lot of people make shredded potato for potato pancakes. And then for every pound of potatoes, you want to have a 6 ounce to 8 ounce onion. That's a medium to medium large onion. And I alternate grating the potato and the onion because the acidity of the onion helps keep the potato from turning color. Well, it might turn pink, but it won't turn black or gray. My grandmother kept a big silver-plated spoon in the batter. And only years later did I realize, I thought it was magic when I was a kid, that it helped keep the potatoes from coloring. But years later, of course, I realized that it was the tartrates on the surface of this tarnished silver spoon that helped keep the potatoes from coloring. Another, if you don't have a nicely tarnished, very large silver-plated spoon, or even solid silver spoon, a pinch of cream of tartar will do the same thing. Anyway, but also it helps to alternate the onion, the grated onion with the grated potato, even if you're doing it in a food processor. You don't have to wash the processor or between gratings, by the way, and then combine them. So for a pound of potato and a nice-sized onion, at least a 6 ounce onion, I want to put in two eggs, two whole eggs, and a lot of salt. Potatoes use a lot of salt, so I would say a nice rounded teaspoon of salt. I like peppery pancakes, so put in a nice amount of freshly ground pepper. And then you're going to have to decide how much starch to add. Now, in the old days, I bet if I looked up my old recipe, I would find that I was using flour. However, these days, I'm more likely to be using matzah meal. I just think the matzah meal gives a little bit more crunch to the edges of the pancakes, and I like that. So I would say 4 or 5 tablespoons of flour, maybe a little bit more matzah meal, like 6 tablespoons. That's a third of a cup, a half a cup of matzah meal. You're going to have to judge this. And the only way to really judge it after you mix it up and let it stand for a few minutes is to fry off a pancake and see how it works. So in your skillet that you're going to make the pancakes, I would use my largest skillet because you want to make as many pancakes as you can fit in the skillet at a time. And an eighth of an inch of, I use peanut oil. You can use canola oil. You can use any vegetable oil. I would not be using schmaltz, although if I had any in the house, I might add a tablespoon or two to the oil just to give it a little extra flavor. And then if you put in, use a utility spoon, what I call a utility spoon, a big, you know, kitchen spoon, to scoop out the batter and put it in the fat. If the fat is so hot that it makes the batter furiously fry immediately, then you're too hot. If you put the batter in and it doesn't bubble immediately, then it's not hot enough. One way to judge, and I like this way because it's such an old-fashioned way, to judge the heat of the oil is to put the end of a wooden spoon, not the spoon part, but the handle part, into your fat. And if the bubbles form around the spoon immediately, then you know you're hot enough. Anyway, put in a big spoonful of batter and fry it up, and then you can judge, is this oil the right temperature? Do I have enough starch in here, either matzo meal or flour? You always have enough egg. And by the way, that recipe can get multiplied by as many times as you need it, but you don't need to necessarily multiply the eggs. Mm-hmm. So if you're making 2 cups, yes, put 2 eggs in. But if you're making 3 cups, I should say 3 pounds of potato, 2 eggs is also enough. Then when you get higher, you know, you add an egg. So that's my potato pancakes. Now, years ago, when the diet fad of the moment was to not eat any fat, I got inundated with no-fat latke recipes. This is when I was on WOR radio. And I thought it defeated the whole purpose here. Why would you have no-fat potato pancakes on a holiday that's all about the fat? It's not about potatoes. It's about the oil. But I have to say that one of these, given to me by a – I have to go look it up – given to me by a listener, a super healthy potato pancake made with a lot of wheat germ and baked. Let me see if I can find the actual recipe. I think I can. They're delicious. They're just not in keeping with the tradition of frying food on Hanukkah. So if you really want a potato pan, and by the way, they're also good, these pancakes, at keeping. You can make them ahead and then reheat them in the oven. So I don't know. Do we want this recipe or not? Talking to you.
Do you want my opinion?
Your opinion?
My opinion.
Forget
is
it.
This. Forget it. It's fried. We can have a week. We can have wheat germ potato pancakes other times during the year. Wheat germ latkes other times.
Well, I am stuck in the house today because the snow has turned to ice, and even though our roadways are totally clear, the sidewalks are not. I have a walking routine that I do in the house, which I will. But we sort of have been in for a few days and have eaten up a lot of our food, including the potatoes, which I was thinking might turn. Oh, by the way, I use russet potatoes. I use baking potatoes because they're drier than the other kinds of potatoes. Anyway, so today I do want to fry something. So what I'm going to do is make matzah meal pancake. I have a lot of matzah meal in the house. Matzah meal is sort of an inert ingredient. You know, you buy some to make a few things at Passover, and then it really lasts until the next Passover if you don't use it all up to cook with. But really, I do sometimes use it up, but not today. So matzah meal pancake, I mean, the whole point here is frying, not potatoes, as I said. So matzah meal pancakes, you can find a good recipe in my Jewish book, I'm sure, because there's no life, no Jewish life without matzah meal pancakes, got to say. And it's nothing but matzah meal. By the way, I'm sure if you look at the back of a package of matzah meal, you'll find this recipe. It's just matzo meal and eggs and salt and a little water because you have to reconstitute the matzo meal. And you let it stand a few minutes and then fry it, just as I said before, in hot but not furiously hot oil. Let me see. I should be able to find this easily. By the way, it's interesting about matzo meal. If you're very observant, you don't use matzo meal on Passover because you're not supposed to moisten you're not supposed to moisten the matzah until you can only on the last day or maybe 2 days of Passover, when of course frugality rules. So if you have a lot of matzah meal or other matzah product in the house, you can cook with it. But until then, you're not really supposed to cook with it. And so I always think that matzah meal pancakes, besides that I do love them, are something to make not on Passover. My grandmother would make them just as a treat, and I have to say that on Passover itself, we did use matzah meal in various ways. And matzah meal pancakes were what she would make for her grandchildren while we were all waiting for the fathers to come home from work and start Passover Seder. But here's my little formula for my. This is such an easy thing to do. 3 eggs and 3/4 cup of cold tap water. It doesn't have to be icy cold, but I mean not hot water, but cold water out of the tap. three eggs and 3/4 of a cup of water, a teaspoon of salt. Again, this eats up salt. Don't be scared of it. A 1/2 cup of matzah meal. And if you like sweet things, you can add sugar to this. We, in my family, like salty, savory things, so we never put sugar in our matzah meal pancakes, but I would. Anyway, in a mixing bowl, you just beat together the eggs, the water, the salt, the matzah meal, and sugar if you're using it, and let it stand, because it takes a few minutes for the matzah meal to absorb the moisture. Now, it should be thick, but pourable, and if it's not pourable, add water by the spoonful, only by the spoonful, until you get a pourable mixture. And then in your skillet, you heat your oil. Now, you're going to need some vegetable oil. As I said, I wouldn't use chicken fat. I would, however, use butter if I was making this on their own. They're delicious in butter. And then, like with potato pancakes, you use a big utility spoon. Or if you want to measure 1/4 cup of batter is about enough for each pancake. You drop the batter into the hot fat. It should start sizzling immediately. You flip them over once the first side is browned a little, and that's it. They don't hold up for very long. You want to eat them as they come out of the pan, or at least soon after. And I do drain them on paper before I put them on the plate, because they can be a little greasy. But, of course, for Hanukkah, we're adoring fat, so don't be scared. If you want to make these more savory, you can add onion. I've done this. You grate an onion into the on the fine side of a box grater. You grate onion into the batter. Now, onion produces a little bit more liquid, so just be careful about that. And when you make potato pancakes with onion, which I do love, it goes particularly well with roast chicken, or we eat a lot of roast chicken around here, or any meat dish that has gravy. So getting to the gravy part, my grandmother made for Hanukkah a dish we called muchana. Now, she was from Brooklyn, but her parents were from what we now call Belarus, as were, by the way, her husband, my grandfather's family. They met here in Brooklyn, but his family was from Belarus also. So my grandmother made this dish, which was meat, usually brisket, actually, cut into big, big cubes and braised to produce a brown gravy, a deep brown gravy. The seasoning was a lot of garlic and bay leaf. Now, after my grandmother passed away, and I guess I was in charge of Hanukkah, I made this for my family, only to discover that I was the only one who liked it. But the whole point of my grandmother's muchana was to go, it was really about the gravy and not the meat, although the meat was very tender and delicious. Everybody got like one chunk of meat and a bowl full of gravy, and you were supposed to dunk your potato pancakes into the gravy. Now, I didn't know any other family that made this dish until, and by the way, originally, it had other things, other spices in it, like some the basically pickling spices. If you bought a mix of pickling spices and put a tablespoon of that, and that would have been the flavoring. But my grandmother claimed it gave my grandfather heartburn, so she reduced it just to garlic and bay leaves, which I loved. Anyway, years later, we're talking like maybe 10 years ago, not even, I see online that a new restaurant has opened in Sheepshead Bay called, and I forget what it was called, but it was a Belarus restaurant. I look up the menu, and sure enough, on the menu is muchana. And I have to try this. So we go to the restaurant, and their muchana was made with pork. And it was with a beige gravy. It wasn't a nice deep brown gravy, because of course pork does not produce that deep brown color. So, and it came with potato pancakes, which surprised me even more. Didn't say that on the menu. So it was pretty awful, gotta say. The meat was tough, the gravy was greasy, and the potato pancakes were soggy and greasy. So it was altogether terrible. But I could see that this was originally a Belarusian dish. And my grandmother made the Jewish version with beef instead of pork. So that was my Hanukkah as a kid. Very memorable time. These days, it's a lot simpler. We light candles. And I'm going to make matzo meal pancakes just for the two of us. But everybody have a happy Hanukkah week.
And that sounds yummy. And I just want to say I would go with your grandmother's version with the cubed beef for the gravy. That just sounds delicious.
I made it a few years ago. But truth be told, I prefer the meat cooked the way I do these days in a Guinness gravy. But that's for another program. I think I've done my Guinness stew before.
All right. It is always a pleasure. Happy Hanukkah. And we will talk to you again. And love to Bob. And this has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.